my dear brothers and sisters. There were two men sat beside the road that led out of Jericho and went to Jerusalem. And these two men were the ultimate street people. These men were blind. They were dirty, very dirty. And they were despised. You see, the road out of Jericho was a very busy road. It was the main thoroughfare from a major town up to the city of Jerusalem. Many people, especially at the time we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 20, were going up. And so there were men, women, children, animals and donkeys going up on this road. Now Mark and Luke, they have just one man. They focus on Bartimaeus. Matthew gives us two. Who was right? Well, it would seem that as this event unfolds, Matthew gives us the complete picture. It would seem that Bartimaeus, probably even the day before, was on the other side of Jericho. But now in desperation to catch the master, early in the day, he goes to the other side of the city and he takes another man with him. But it's very appropriate. For these two men were in darkness. And it would seem highly probable that Bartimaeus was a Gentile. The other one was a Jew. So now we have two men, Jew and Gentile, who live in darkness and they are coming to the light through Jesus Christ. But let's begin our story with a vision of where they are at as we look at this record in Matthew chapter 20. Day after day in their lives, they would be there in some part of the city. And because the road outside the city at least was unpaved, the dust would be continuous. And so they would live on the side, they would exist on the side of this road, waiting for somebody to pass them a coin. But also they would be well aware that the people who walk beside them shared little pity for the most part. For the question was always on their lips, who sinned, this man or his parents? And so for many, their conscience would be clear as they walked on by with not a penny to spare for them. But the psalmist had said, "The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. He will light a candle." And this was the only hope that these men could ever hope to have. There was no surgery. There was no medicine. They were in a prison house. As Isaiah says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon and them that are sit in darkness out of the prison house." And that's where these two men were. And so it would be fitting if Bartimaeus were in fact a Gentile, because this is what Isaiah prophesied of the ministry of our Lord and the even greater work that is pending for him when he comes to free even more out of the prison house. But there were many blind in Israel at this time. And these were just two of them. And these men were in prison, seemingly with no way out. except there would be a doorway of faith. And we see how that it was opened. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, has beautiful words on the subject. In his 11th chapter, "What then," he said, "Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, let they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." And Jesus, recorded by John, said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." But in the Matthew record of this incident, there are some noticeable things that Matthew penned, I think very much for our benefit. And so in Matthew chapter 20, reading of this incident, "And behold, two blind men," and Matthew's emphasis on the "behold" is a very deliberate one. And it is really saying, take a good look at this. There's something in it for all of us. "So behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by." Jesus was not coming to them. He, like all of the rest, was just passing by these desperate men. But these men, in their pitiful state, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." They had it right. They knew exactly who he was. That Jesus was the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. And so there was great expectation. Jesus was passing by. And for most people, Jesus keeps on passing by. Most people miss the opportunity. They let him go. When Jesus is right there, right close by, they let him go. But these men cried out. But you notice what happens with the multitude. The multitude rebukes them. Because these men are pathetic creatures. And there is a purpose in the multitude as they go on up to Jerusalem. There are great things to accomplish in Jerusalem. As they go up to make sacrifice. And there with the Master. And the potential of a miracle. And the potential of great teaching. There's no time for beggars and street people, dirty men. And so they shut them down. But these men wouldn't be shut down. And so we can ask the question, brothers and sisters, how many times have we been rebuked? How many times does a multitude put us down for what we do? For being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For having faith in God Almighty. You see, it's not for the multitude. And so we often must be rebuked for our foolishness, our simplicity. This, what we do here, is not for everyone. Everything in the world, where the multitude goes, is opposed. It is contrary. For as Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And all men and all women who are without Jesus are lost and blind. But many don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't understand how trapped they are. And for many, they cannot understand that we have been freed from the prison house. Can we appreciate, my brothers and sisters, the pathetic state in which many of our colleagues, co-workers, friends, neighbours, people around us, the pathetic state in which they really live? For these, for the most part, can never or cannot appreciate the wonderful freedom that is ours, as we have taken up Christ. But these men could not be held down. We see in Matthew that they cried out the more. So if they were crying out loudly in the beginning, they were crying out even more loudly as the multitude tried to shut them up. And they said, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still. What a wonderful thing we see here in our Lord. Jesus stood still. Never mind the multitude. Never mind the progress that they wanted to make. Never mind the going on up to Jerusalem. But Jesus only stood still because these men were persistent and insistent. And so must we be. We must be persistent and insistent in our crying out to the Lord. We can never let it go. And that's where these men were. They understood the principle that Jesus had clearly taught. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But you see, Jesus was going to continue right on. But these men, they stopped him in his tracks. And Jesus will always respond to one who is indeed persistent and insistent. But that's what it takes. And we remember Jacob. Jacob, as he wrestled with the angels, he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. And this was the same attitude of these two men. They would not let Jesus go until they had been blessed. And Jesus waited. And Jesus still waits. He waits if we call. He waits for anyone who will call out to him. So is our Lord. In the Mark record of this incident, there is another interesting little piece where Mark tells us that Bartimaeus cast away his garment. He cast it away. That familiar garment that he had wrapped around him day in, day out, night in, night out. But that garment was a filthy garment. If you can imagine the amount of dust that had accumulated on that garment. And this was a blind man. He couldn't see where the stains were. He couldn't see all the food that had fallen down onto his garment and stained it. And you know what? This man, he couldn't look in the mirror and comb his hair. And so he was a disheveled man. He was a man who didn't look pretty. He was never one to be acclaimed by the multitude. Who would want such a one? But that filthy garment, he threw it away, never to take it up again. Mark also tells us that he sprang up. He didn't just get up. He sprang up to come to the Lord. Interesting little bits that Mark puts into the record. Why didn't he take his garment up again? Well, Jesus tells us in Mark 13, verse 16, let him that is in the field not turn back for to take up his garment. And that's a direct commandment of the Lord for one who is called to discipleship. There was a past life. And now there was a new life ahead of this man. It's a wonderful thing. To pass out of darkness and come into light. Everything changes. There would be no more sitting by the roadside. There would be no more the snide comments coming to his ears about his sinful, pathetic position. And when did sight come? But firstly, Jesus says unto him, after having called them, what will you that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And here I think we have the clear indication that this is for the Jew and it is for the Gentile. Our eyes, plural. And so the gospel would go out unto all men, that all men would be open. The Jews didn't understand that at this point. But here was Jesus clearly indicating to all, and particularly to his disciples beside him, that his calling, his opening of the eyes, his enlightenment, his taking out of the prison house would be for all mankind. For in Abraham, all families of the earth would be blessed. What a miracle. And what do you want me to do for you? Said Jesus. An obvious question. With an obvious answer. Lord, that our eyes may be opened. That our eyes may be opened. And how long did it take? So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight. Immediately. So they were still in front of Jesus when their sight came back to them. And what did they see? The very first thing they saw was the face of Jesus Christ. Paul takes it up in Corinthians. He says in the letter we have before us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These men understood that. These men understood that this miracle was of God, and that he had called to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's glory shone in the face of Jesus. And that was their vision. That was their vision as they came out of this, as this miracle was performed. And what a miracle it was, my brothers and sisters. And this is for all who would see. All who would come to Jesus with that simple desire, Lord, that my eyes may be opened. Because, brothers and sisters, too black is the darkness. The darkness is all around us. But where there is light, the darkness is dispelled. And it was God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. And by the light, the darkness is destroyed. And that's how we destroy every hint of darkness within our own lives. And by God's mercy, we might be privileged to share the light with others. Unfortunately, the multitude don't see Jesus for what he is and cry out to him that he might stop and be still and minister and perform his miracle. In Paul to Thessalonians, there is a word or two that he offers to all of the faithful, the brethren, the brothers and the sisters, where he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Peace and safety. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ. For by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort, exhort yourselves to exhort one another and build each other up, even as also you do. And so these men's eyes were opened. And now there was a change. Their eyes were opened and the vision was clear. And there was only one thing left for them to do. And Mark writes it down. Sorry, Matthew writes it down in just 3 words. They followed him. And so do we.